Aren't you glad you're saved? Ephesians chapter number 3, we're going to read one verse together from the King James Bible. We're going to read in unison. Actually, two verses, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And if you have a King James Bible, let's read together. If you do not have a King James Bible, you do not have a Bible. So get yourself a King James Bible and share with somebody else. Let's read together those two verses. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Look at verse 20 again. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Lord, collectively, individually, we want to thank you, dear God, for giving us a little bit more space, a little bit more time for liberty to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to lost sinners on their way to hell. Dear God, we do thank you, Lord, for the way you've worked in the hearts of many people this last week. I thank you, dear God, for the miracle that we saw Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. Lord, we know that we're going to disagree with the president-elect on many issues in the future. There's no doubt about that. But it sure beats going to prison or jail for preaching the gospel. It sure beats having preaching of the Word of God being called hate speech by the Supreme Court. And so, dear God, we pray for a smooth transition. I pray for December 19, especially, that when the electors cast their votes, the count that votes, the vote that really counts. And I pray, dear God, for this new president, that you would give him wisdom, much more wisdom than he's ever had. He's going to need it right now. I pray, Lord, you'd put a muzzle on his mouth. I pray, dear God, that you direct his thoughts. And I pray that he'll be sober-minded, dear God, that it's not a reality show, not a TV show, that he's going to be the leader of the free world. And I pray, dear God, around the world, as people have looked to America for one last hope before we fell off the cliff, dear God, that you would bless those many millions of people that are begging you and pleading with you to spare America just one more time. And in honor of that, dear God, help us to do what we can before it is too late. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for church. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I could not think of a better verse to start the sermon the Sunday after the election than this verse here. Although there's many verses in the Bible that would have been appropriate. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, it's amazing because if you took out those three words, it would have still been good because the Bible would have said, he is able to do that what we ask or think. And that would be, okay, I believe that. God would answer our prayer and we would ask God to do something and we would seek God's face and we'd have our petitions before heaven and we'd implore God on our behalf to pay attention. Pay attention on the back row where I'm going to separate you. You understand me? As a matter of fact, Nathan, why don't you come up front? Come all the way front. Sit up here. Thank you. A lot of times we pray and we ask God for help. We ask God for wisdom. We ask God to meet our needs. We ask God for prayers on behalf of ourselves and on behalf of others. And God does say that he would answer our prayer if it's according to his will. But this verse adds three words in this kind of a prayer that we would have to God that is not found, I don't think, anywhere else in entire Scripture. Look at it. Exceeding abundantly above. That God would answer our prayer more than what we prayed for. I don't know about you, but he sure did. I don't know about you, but he sure did. Exceeding abundantly more than what most everybody thought. What a great God. When it looked doom and gloom, when it looked bad, when all the pundits said it's all over, God came through, amen. Now, I know there's a lot of people that are sorrowing today because they're a side loss. I understand that. And there's a lot of people having a difficult time with this. Religious people I'm talking about. But if you love the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, you ought to be rejoicing this morning. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you love the salvation of souls and you are yearning to see people born again, saved from hell, then you are thrilled that God gave us liberty a little bit longer. I'll tell you, my very first concern after December 19th, the inauguration, my first and foremost concern is the Supreme Court nominee. That is the first thing and the most important thing I will be looking for. Whether this justice is going to give us liberty to preach the truths of the Word of God that people are today calling hate speech, that the sodomites want closed down. You need to be praying so that God continues to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask answers that prayer request. We know we're not under any illusion. We've been through this for the last 6 or 8 weeks. That we know we're going to disagree with President-elect Trump on many issues, many issues. There's no doubt about that at all in my mind. But I'd rather, as I said earlier, be behind a pulpit than be in jail or in prison. I'd rather have the liberty and freedom to preach than have my property taken away or my guns taken away. I would rather be in this situation where I know I'm going to disagree with the President-elect on many things. But I'd rather have my freedom and my liberty to do so than losing my liberty and being against my will forced into a jailhouse or a prison cell for preaching that which is right. I want to remind you, as I said in the early Bible study, that for 1,500 years, Baptists never had church buildings. Baptists were always the outlaws. The Pope wanted us burned at the stake. We've lost that. We have forgotten that. We haven't been taught that history. It was only in the last 400 years or so that Baptists, because everybody was given their freedom and liberty because of Baptists, that we now have our own buildings. We now have our own societies and missions and organizations because we've lived in relative freedom and liberty for the last 300 to 400 years, a little bit in Europe and here, especially in America. We were about to lose those liberties and those freedoms with this election. The people who wanted more money voted for their belly. They didn't care about God's righteousness. They didn't care about the judgment seat of Christ that they were going to stand before one day and give an account to God Almighty. They cared about their food. They cared about their money. They cared about their job. I cared about what God said. I do care about people getting jobs. And we do help people with the poor. We help the rent. We help paying the bills. We help with utilities. We help with the food bags that we give out. I'm not saying that we shouldn't help. But I'm more concerned about God's righteousness than anything else. And you ought to be concerned about God's righteousness more than anything else. And here, God exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, God answered our prayer request. I dare say the vast majority, even God's people, were depressed and despondent, looking doom and gloom in the face. As Moses stood before the Red Sea, the doom and gloom must have been all over those 6, 8, 10 million Israeli faces. When he lifted up his rod and the Red Sea split open at the very last moment. I'm sure Abraham's heart sunk when God told him to sacrifice his only son. And Abraham believed in hope against hope, the Bible says. That he believed the word of God said that he would raise his own son up. And as that night was going back to sacrifice his only son, God at the last moment said, Abraham, stop. Stop. We can go on from prophet to prophet who thought it was all over. It was all over when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. And Jesus showed up. And those lions were his pillows. It was all over when the three Hebrew boys were thrown in the fire and Jesus showed up. It's doom and gloom. There's no hope. It's all gone. It is over, ladies and gentlemen. And God shows up. What a modern day miracle when God shows up. To do more, exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. You have no idea what God has in store for you if you just were to believe it. It is a modern day miracle that Hillary lost. And all glory and praise goes to Jesus Christ. I believe it was a fact that many of God's people were praying and fasting all around the world. America was fast approaching the cliff for the last 8 years. And God has spared America a little longer. A little longer, not much longer, a little longer. God has showed his mercy upon us. America was on the precipice of never returning. The final nail in the coffin was about to be nailed. The first shovel full of dirt was about to be placed on the coffin, 6 feet down. And you need to pray for your president-elect so that God gives this man some wisdom and discretion, discernment, and courage to do what is right. I'll be honest with you, if he just does 10% of what he said, I'll be happy. 10%, I'll be happy. I'm already ready for the times he's going to let me down. I know that. Where he's going to backtrack on some things. Look, that's politics. Unfortunately, he's not a Baptist. He's not a fundamentalist. He doesn't believe the Bible. I'm just telling you, that's the nature of politics. There'll be plenty of times later on where we will disagree on some very important issues. But it's incumbent upon God's people to continue to pray right now. Ezra 9:8 says, and now a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Right now, God has given us a little space of grace. I don't know how much longer the window's going to be open, the door's going to be open, but while that window of grace is open, while that space of time is open, is it incumbent upon you and I to do what we can for God, to reach our neighbors, to tell others of Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't have to tell them to be a Baptist. Look, I preached this before. I did not become a Republican until 4 years ago. You figure that one out, okay? And I'm not saying you ought to make people Republicans or conservative. You ought to get them saved, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a political cause that we're on. This is not a political faction that we believe in. This is not somebody who we are hoping that the candidate's going to save us. The hope is not in the White House. The hope is in God's house. The hope lies in God's people believing what God said. And if we just believe what God said, God would answer exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You can't even imagine what God has in store for us. We can't even imagine what God has waiting for those who love him. Now a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant. When you live in New York State, it's a remnant, man. It is a remnant. To escape. And to give us a nail in his holy place that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Hey, are you saved? Have you been born again? Have you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell? Are you doing that which is right? Are you pleasing in God's eyes? He said, Pastor, I'm not saved. Well, you can be saved. You don't understand it. God can do something exceeding abundantly above what you think. Or ask. Say, I'm too wicked. I'm too bad. God can't save me. Well, that's because you don't know what God said. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. That's exceeding abundantly above what you think about yourself. So I'm too bad. I'm too wicked. I'm too sinful. I don't deserve to go to heaven. That's the truth. We don't deserve. Nobody deserves to go to heaven. But God can exceeding abundantly do above all that we ask or think. So if you're just willing to let God save you, God will save you. You have no idea what's in store for your life from God Almighty. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceeding abundant with faith. There it is again. Exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul said, God has been exceeding abundantly above all that I thought. He saved my soul, the chiefest of sinners, he called himself. When you think too highly of yourself, God cannot use you. When you have a chip on your shoulder, God cannot use you. When you're stubborn, rebellious, you don't care what God says, you're more concerned with what people say, God cannot use you. You're more concerned with what the pundits say, what your neighbors say, what your coworkers say, what your family says, what your relative says. We ought to be concerned with what God says, ladies and gentlemen. We ought not to be ashamed of what God said, whether it's popular or unpopular. Him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. That's God doing something exceeding abundantly above what you think. We are so undeserving of God's grace and God's mercy. There is heaven and hell, ladies and gentlemen. People are going to die. And God has been good to us. God is always good to us. We just do not realize how good God has been to us. So merciful, so good, so gracious, so long-suffering, so patient. You and I cannot fathom how horrible hell really is. Most people laugh and mock at hell as if it's a joke. These comedians and these people who hate God, they have God rage. These Hollywood stars, they're filthy. They cuss and swear and curse and use God's name in vain. And you watch that stuff and you support that stuff. God have mercy and pity on your soul. We cannot fathom how horrible hell really is. It's exceeding abundant, more hellish than you even think. You're lost and you dying without Jesus Christ, you're going to realize 5 seconds in hell that it's not a joke anymore. For all eternity, you're going to be burning in hell forever because you thought your religion was good enough to save you. You thought your baptism was good enough to save you. You thought your church membership was good enough to save you. You think your education is good enough to, you mark this down, education minus salvation equals damnation, ladies and gentlemen. And most people who are educated with that college diploma think they're smarter than God. And they're on their way to hell this morning. And what they need is they need the mercy of God. They need to humble themselves before a holy God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. God broke my heart when I was 21 years old. And I was full of myself, a chip on my shoulder, and I thought I knew it all. And somebody shared the gospel with me, and I was born again, ladies and gentlemen. Glory be to God. God did that. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Amen. Are you more concerned about politics or the salvation of souls? Huh? Are you more concerned about your freedom and liberty, or are you concerned about the salvation of your loved ones? What do you talk about more? You talk more about Jesus or more about politics? Huh? What do you talk about more? You talk about religion more than Jesus? Church more than Jesus? Yourself more than Jesus? Your friends and loved ones are one breath from hell if they're not saved. One breath. You could die tonight, they could die tonight. Have you ever shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them? Do they know where they're going to go when they die? Said they're going to call me a freak, a lunatic. They're going to call me a whole bunch of names. Well, welcome to the club. They nailed somebody to the cross about 2,000 years ago for that. They chopped somebody's head off who proclaimed that the Messiah was coming. The voice in the wilderness. Welcome to the club. Things haven't changed much in 2,000 years, ladies and gentlemen. We've just been given liberty to proclaim the gospel like no other nation in the history of mankind. But the fearful, Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Jesus said in Matthew 10, fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Revelation 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus said in Mark chapter number 9, the fire that never shall be quenched. Revelation 20, verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Jesus said in Matthew 13, he said, they shall be cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Revelation 14:11, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image. The original Greek says Hillary right there. Almost, man. Almost. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Matthew chapter number 5, verse 22, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. They think we're fools doing this. God's people ought to be rejoicing, amen. We ought to rejoice, man. Say, glory be to God in the church, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 3. In Revelation 20, verse number 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You ain't getting out of hell when you get there. There's no such thing as purgatory. This is why the Pope wanted Baptists burned at the stake for 1,500 years. They want to shut us up. I'm not shutting up. And even, listen to me good, even if they do take away our liberty, we'll start jail ministry, amen? We'll have the people in jail and the prison getting saved, amen? While the politicians and the religious people are on their way to hell. We need God's people to wake up. We need to be concerned about our loved ones, our neighbors, our coworkers. See, sin is far more dangerous than people think. It's exceeding abundantly more dangerous than you think it is. You say, well, everybody's doing this little sin. I'll do this sin. Oh, no, sin is more dangerous than you think it is. Satan is far more dangerous and more deceptive than you think he is. He is leading people astray, even though they think they're religious. Even though they go to churches and even though they sing gospel songs, they're living lives contrary to the words of God. Being disobedient and rebellious to God's word is more dangerous than you think it is. You're trying to compare yourself to others. The Bible says it's not wise to compare yourself. Too many are making light of the word of God. They are too flippant. They are nonchalant. They're apathetic. Dude, they do not think that it is important to obey everything in the word of God to the most of their ability. You say, I can't live by faith, Pastor. It's very difficult to do in 2016. Well, I tell you that God can exceeding abundantly do more than you ask or think. You don't know what God can do through you if you just let God do it. Just surrender and say, God, here I am, use me. You'll be shocked what God can do for you and through you. The biggest obstacle in your life is you. Your loved ones are going to die. You listen to me good. Your husband, your wife's going to die. Your children are going to die. Your parents are going to die. And as they're cast into the lake of fire, you'll be watching. And they'll turn to you and say, well, if you knew this, why didn't you tell me? I asked you, what are you going to tell them, man? When it's too late, what are you going to tell them? This is the only time you got. This is the only time to wake up. This is the only time to get right with God right now. I don't know if God will answer my prayer. Well, I got news for you. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. All you got to do is believe. That's all you got to do is just believe. The man came to Jesus and said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? That you could live by faith, that you could get your prayers answered, that you could salvage your marriage, that God can spare your children, that God can bless your family, that God can reverse the health problems you have, that God can salvage your finances and give you some wisdom and discretion and discernment concerning your money and your finances. You see, heaven is a lot more glorious and beautiful than you think it is. We think, well, you know, just be, you know, we think here, too many of God's people are just hoping for the rapture to happen so soon so they can get out of here. I'm waiting for a rapture so I can see Jesus, amen. I'm not concerned about getting out of here. I want to stay here and fight as long as I possibly can. I'm going to give it everything I got. I'm going to give it my last dying breath. I'm going to give it every ounce I got. But I'm sure looking forward to seeing my Savior, amen. I can't wait till the trumpet calls. I want to go home. But until that day happens, I'm going to do everything I can for Jesus just to show him how much I love him. Do you love Jesus this morning? Or is it all about you? Is it your reputation? Do you want people to pat you on the back? Do you want everybody to think nice of you? Ask John the Baptist what happened to him. Ask the Apostle Paul what happened to him when Nero cut his head off. Jesus is more lovely than you'll ever know. He's exceeding abundantly more merciful than you'll ever know. The gracious words that fell off his gracious lips are more exceeding abundantly gracious than you'll ever know. Jesus was kind and tenderhearted. He was forgiving and patient to sinners, not to the Pharisaical crowd, not to the but to the sinners caught in sin, he was merciful. And by the way, that's what you'll find at Grace Baptist Church. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting that the political crowd, Republicans and Democrats, they don't like us, amen. Huh? It's interesting that the religious crowd, they don't like us, amen. You may not like the preacher, but you know somebody loves you at Grace Baptist Church, amen. You know somebody cares about you at Grace Baptist Church, amen. You may not be all together. You might not have everything going right in life, but you're going to know people love you at Grace Baptist Church, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, babe, that's the way it ought to be. That's because why Jesus loves us, amen. And we ought to be like Jesus, amen. And we ought to help people. Amen. If you were to read Ephesians chapter number 3, starting from verse number 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, watch this, with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Watch this, verse number 19. And to know the love of Christ, watch this, which passeth knowledge. You cannot and I cannot comprehend how much God loves us. Can't comprehend it. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do you believe that God can move mountains in your life? Do you believe that? Or you say, oh, that's just, you know, hyperbole. Do you believe, like Noah believed while he was building the ark for over 100 years, that God would make it rain for the very first time? Can you imagine all the people that were mocking Noah for 100 years, laughing at him and ridiculing him, scorning him? Noah, you're wasting your life. You're wasting your time. You ought to enjoy your life. But Noah found righteousness and found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God was merciful. God can exceeding abundantly do more than you think or ask. Romans 8:18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. All right, so we suffer. All right, so we're mocked. So we're ridiculed. My Bible says the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I mean, every time somebody ridicules us and mocks us and makes fun of us and scorns us, hey, you know what? God's adding that to our account, ladies and gentlemen. God's given us more glory every single time that happens. God said to King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any king, any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. So God, here's what Solomon asked. God, give me wisdom for such a great people to discern how to handle so many of these people. And God said, I'll give you more than you asked, Solomon. Hey, you get a hold of God and God will give you more than you exceedingly, abundantly ever thought God could do. And you'll be standing back in awe and shock. Shock and awe. Say, wow, I can't believe God did this. You look back at the last 10, 20, 30 years of your life, you say, God did this. If you're honest, you'll say, you can't do it on your own. You're not smart enough. You're not intelligent enough. You're not good enough. But all praise and glory goes to God Almighty. 2 Corinthians 9:8, the Bible says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiently in all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You have no idea what God has in store for you right now, ladies and gentlemen. Say, I'm afraid of falling and sinning and turning my back on God. Jude verse 24 says, now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless. God is able. You're not able, but God is able. Just throw yourself at the throne of God. Just throw yourself at the altar of God. Whatever burden you have, whatever prayer request you have, give it to God. People are only so good. Pastors are only so good. Deacons are only so good. Sunday school teachers are only so good. Christian believers are only so good. Give it to God. Yes. Hebrews 7:25, why he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God. I don't believe God will take me. Well, you don't know what God said. God will take you. God will forgive you. God will have mercy on your soul. 1 Corinthians 2:9, the Bible says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. If you asked me 30 years ago, 35 years ago, I'd be preaching the gospel. I'd be married to a beautiful woman who loves God, loves me, loves her children. I've had 6 kids, retarded as they are, and 11 and more grandkids coming. I would never believe it. Never believe it. Preaching the gospel behind a pulpit. Undeserving. If you had told me that 35 years ago, I would have never believed it. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You don't know what God's got for you. Don't you give up on God. Don't stop. Because God can do exceeding abundantly above all that you think or ask. Don't give up on God and don't give up. We are finite people with finite minds, but God is an infinite deity God with an infinite will and an infinite power, infinite mind. And we're trying to comprehend from a finite mind to an infinite God. Lost people are not usually thinking about God. Some lost people thinking about God, but they're wondering and contemplating. I wonder if there is a God, who God is. Even most of God's people are not thinking about God. But God says all things are possible to him that believe it. Dost thou believe? Do you believe that God can remove mountains in your life? God can increase your faith, ladies and gentlemen, to believe it. The Bible says faith is without seeing. Before it happens, before it comes to pass, and you need to increase your faith to be like Abraham and Moses and Noah and Daniel and Peter and all the other apostles and all the other prophets in the Old Testament. Psalm 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. That's the wicked. Is God in all your thoughts? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What do you think about during the day? What are you watching during the day? You're on Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat, all social media. You're online. You're on your emails. You're on your texting. Are you thinking about God at all? Are you concerned about lost people at all? I'll close with, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. We'll close with this. Philippians chapter number 4. One book after Ephesians. Philippians chapter number 4. I don't want to ever be a normal church. I don't want to ever be a normal congregation. I don't want to ever be a normal pastor. Just coming through the routine, getting the salary, and getting my salary and my benefits and my retirement. And have my parsonage. And have my office. I don't want to be a normal pastor. I want to be a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be a preacher of the truths of the Word of God, popular or unpopular. 2016 or 1916 or 1816 or 1716 or 1616 or 2116. Philippians, chapter number 4. We talked about the love of God. How about the peace of God? Verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You can't understand the peace of God unless you get saved and live for God. I can't sleep at night. Why don't you start living for God? I'm depressed. Why don't you get somebody saved? Why don't you start winning somebody to Jesus Christ? You'll see how much joy you have in your life. We said this morning, just read the Bible. The Bible is the rejoicing of your heart, the Word of God. Just read the Word of God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. It's true, ladies and gentlemen, that Hillary lost. It's still hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, it's still hard to believe, isn't it? Did you think it would ever happen? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And the God in heaven, the creator of the universe, can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You just think right, and God will come through. You just think right, and God will come through. Don't you have a prayer to be answered? Don't you have a burden that needs to be lifted? Don't you have a loved one that needs to be saved? You think right, and God will come through. God will come through. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, dear God, for loving us, for being such a merciful God, for extending a little grace towards this place, a little space, a little window, a little time, so that we can freely, without hindrance, proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and preach the truths of the Word of God. There were so many clamoring for this to be hate speech, one Supreme Court seat away. This would have been hate speech and against the law, as it is in Europe and other places. The sodomites are running rampant. It's okay to kill babies now before they're born. It's okay for the sodomites to run rampant over our society, but it's not okay for God's people to stand for what is right. Oh, God, have mercy on this nation that has turned her back on thee. God, you did above, exceeding abundantly above all that we ever thought or asked. Oh, dear God, we owe you. Help us not to take this time for granted. Help us to be concerned about the lost, about the poor, about those who are struggling, those in need. Help us to love our neighbor, dear God, and show them compassion, the mercy, the grace that you showed us. I pray, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not never been born again, I pray they'll come forward and get saved this morning. I pray if there's anybody in this room, they've been saved, they've been born again, but they've not been baptized in a Baptist church, I pray they'll come and get baptized this morning. And whatever else the need is, dear God, help us to remember that you can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business for God. God's people praying. God's people praying.